I'm so excited to share with you that the doors are officially open for my first ever phone-free event that's happening in Los Angeles, California on February 28th at Mudwater Gather in Santa Monica, with the option for you to dive even deeper on March 1st. Now look, this event is about you. It's about you building connections and community and us all really bringing this analog revolution to life and reminding our hearts and souls what we truly crave most, what nourishes our being, which is co-regulating with other humans, having our mirror neurons dance together, sharing experiences together, but also learning together. So on top of all the community and connection possibilities for you, there's also an incredible lineup of speakers. I've got internationally renowned nervous system expert Sarah Baldwin, Nike master trainer Brandon Collingsworth talking about purpose and meaning, and Mandy Balak, who's the president of the Gathering Festival, which is one of the largest marketing and branding conferences in North America. So we're going to be diving deeper into what does the future look like to walk alongside technology and use technology as a tool. Now look, if you want to dive even deeper, there's limited space for a VIP dinner on the Saturday night. And if you want to go even deeper, if it's aligned for leaders, coaches, therapists, entrepreneurs, branding, marketing, whoever is called, there's a mastermind on the Sunday morning with even more limited seating. And that's going to be about what does the future look like to create in this world with technology. So if this sounds like something you're interested in, you want to find out more and save your spot, go to markgroves.com/future. I can't wait to see you there. Are we ready to rock?
Ready.
Oh, man. It's actually really hard to even think of where to start with this conversation because I feel like it's been brewing for a long time, probably more secretly in my own system than explicitly. I think what I'm going to share with you today is going to come as a shock and hopefully inspire some form of action that you've been delaying too. I speak a lot about liberation, about liberating ourselves from patterns. And, you know, the book that I wrote with my wife is called Liberated Love. And the other day I was meeting with a friend of mine, Sarah Swain, who's a brand strategist. And I was talking to Sarah about having a business. And if you have a business, do you have to have social media? And she was saying, well, of course you don't have to. There were businesses that existed before social media. However, it depends on the type of business and, you know, just how it feels for you. And she said, so you just really need to check in with yourself. Is it a fit? Is it not? And man, I could just hear this voice coming from the ethers that was saying, no, I can't. But I didn't want to hear it. You know, I've been hearing that voice for a long time. I've been negotiating my relationship to social media for a long time. And to give you some context to that, about 3.5 years ago, I was sitting in a room in Tofino, Canada, on the West Coast with a bunch of people that I worked with and work for me with Create the Love. And I was being asked about another thing I needed to do. And at this point, we'd been like, launch, launch, launch. And you know, if you're someone who's on social media, if your business is on it, it's this endless creative thing. It's like there's never enough and the algorithm's always changing and it doesn't matter if you think you figured it out, there's a new thing. And you have to use the latest viral music and dancey shit and, you know, it just never ends. And, you know, if you're someone who left a 9-to-5 to become an entrepreneur, it's ironic that the very reason you left was to be liberated and you can become just a prisoner in another place. When I started to explore this, when I was in Tofino being asked to create something new, I remember just having this moment where I didn't have any more capacity. And I'd been pushing this for so long of like another video, another question, another piece of writing. And I hadn't taken a break in 8 years. I've posted 1 to 3 times a day for 8 years up until this point. And it was a way that creativity flowed through me. At one point, it was fully in alignment, fully exciting, fully, you know, here I am. This is my purpose. This is what I'm here to do. And you know, what I'm recognizing so much is that sometimes what you start is not what you end up wanting anymore. What you create is no longer what you want to create. Now, I understand this on a conceptual level, but it's different when it's trying to move through you, where you don't even know that your identity is attached to this thing, that so much validation is attached to this. Like the other day, I was talking to my friend and she was saying, well, if you don't have a social media platform, then how do you even present that to brands, to conversations you're having? Like, who are you without it? Well, that tells you a lot, doesn't it? That the validation of your credibility, the verification of your voice is how many likes you get, how many followers you have. I mean, that's not actually true, but that's the world we've cultivated. And so sitting in that room in Tofino, I'll never forget it because I was like, I'm afraid what happens to my mind if I keep going. I could feel that I was about to fracture. Like my brain was about to break. I started crying because I didn't have capacity for more. I had to cancel everything. I had to stop everything. And I took a month off from social media and everything that month, you know, for that whole October. And it was the first time I'd done that in so long. And I remember getting home from that meeting and writing, you know, Googling psychotic break versus nervous breakdown. you know you're in some stuff when you're Googling that kind of stuff. And I was pleasantly surprised that it seemed like I had had neither of those, but I was on the edge of both. And we don't live, you know, the alarm that comes in that moment when you're about to break down or you do break down or you have the panic attack or whatever it is, there's so many things that precede that moment that we somatically, our bodies, somewhere along the line in our childhood, likely, we learned to override alarms because we needed to survive. We learned to override sensations in our body because we live in a productivity-focused world. We live in this world that is about, like, you know, especially if you were codependent, taking care of other people. Look, I had a whole business designed about serving and helping and taking care of other people. And so I'm in this meeting about what is the future of my work. And for the last 3 years, I've been really trying to figure out how do I have a relationship with Instagram and Facebook when in a lot of ways it doesn't feel nourishing to me. I've had 4 people manage my social media over this time, and every single one of them has reached a place of psychological strain. Every single one of them. And I understand that because I was the first one to really reach that space of psychological strain. And so in having this conversation about, well, you can just hire someone else to run your social media. And I thought to myself, that's like hiring someone to date an abusive person for you. And that might sound extreme to you, but let me just, I've been really exploring the abusive nature of platforms like Meta. And the main core tenet of this, which is why I feel it's different than, let's say, YouTube or Twitter, which you might have different perspectives, and that's certainly welcome. But let me explain my perspective on this, which is that there's a reciprocity when you're paid for the content you produce. So when you produce content on YouTube that gets a lot of consumption, you get paid for the impressions that it gets and the ads. Now, I'm not saying that's going to be a place where you're just going to find it's going to be this beautiful, never exhausting relationship. Of course, that's not true. But when you are in a relationship with a platform that nothing is ever enough, they never pay you for your content. The only way you monetize the content, if you have a business, is by converting someone from the content to a thing. So if you don't do the things that are the latest needs of the algorithm, which they've figured out are the ways that actually keep the most people engaged and on the platform, then your stuff doesn't convert. Now, the irony is, if you actually insert some sort of conversion message in your post, it actually drives down the algorithmic reach. So even the thing you need in order to cultivate survival and pay your bills, et cetera, run your business, actually impacts the reach you get unless you're converting people on their platform. through your shop or whatever it might be. So one, nothing is ever enough. The algorithm is always a mystery. The moment you figure it out, it changes. Think about that. That's exactly like being in a relationship with a narcissist. Love bombing is a lot like you get this sense of virality. They give you a little bit, then they take it away. If you say the wrong thing, you can lose everything, which is very similar to financial abuse. So I've been really reconciling all these feelings that I have about this heaviness of like, how do I be in relationship to this thing? And the natural process that we go through when we wake up to this reality that we're saying yes to something in our lives that doesn't feel good for us, that's not relational, that's not generative, that's not saying, you know what, I give this to you, you give things to me. That's, you know, that's what healthy relating is, that they don't come with conditions, right? And we're participating in every relationship we're in our lives. So I'm not the victim of these circumstances. However, there are behavioral scientists that are in charge of actually making sure that all this stuff happens, that I stay on a platform and do everything and keep going and going and going, because there's never enough content. When's the perfect time to post? What music should you use? Like, it's never enough. And that's exhausting to the nervous system. You know, that's exhausting to our system to be in a relationship with something that has so much power over us. You know, I remember journaling, like, why do I resent Instagram? And I was like, oh, I resent it because I feel powerless. Why do I feel powerless? Because the way I relate to it is that I actually give away my power for it. And I depend on it. As you hear any of this, just know none of it is a complaint. You know, I'm not complaining about it because it's a reality of the world. But I am saying I need to change my relationship to it. Because by being in relationship to it, I'm agreeing to it. And in that conversation I was having with Sarah, I was talking about my book, Liberated Love. And I was saying I can't in good conscience be in the type of relationship that I have with my wife, that the book walks you through how to create and be in a relationship with something that's abusive somewhere else. I can't possibly experience the level of reverence that my wife and I have cultivated for one another, the celebration of our own voices, the celebration of each other coming alive, and then be in this other relationship that's completely not congruent for me. So I made a decision. And that decision is to get my life in complete alignment with what it means to be liberated in any form of relationship. I talk a lot about taking leaps, trusting what's on the other side. I've done this multiple times in my life. I know that when you jump, there is something just sacred about it. The idea that when you leap, the net appears. But you know, that sounds great. That sounds like something someone on mushrooms would say to you. And I know it conceptually, it's true. Every time I've done that, where I follow the call, the deeper thing that's being asked of me, I'm caught. I'm supported. And so when I say to you things like, follow it, trust what's a deeper knowing, I can't say that to you without doing it myself. And it's that level of integrity that I need to have in every area of my life. And when I finally said to Sarah, I need to delete my Instagram, I need to delete my Meta accounts. And I was like, wow. It feels like a truth that I've known, but I've just tried to figure out how to be in relationship with this thing, right? Like I said, when we feel powerless in relationship, we tend to just push away the relationship because we don't know how to relate to it. So I tried to relate to it differently for a little while. And now I've gotten enough information that I can also look back and say I didn't, that journey that I've been on to try to figure it out, was necessary to make sense of the feeling I had. You know, sometimes when we delay leaps, when we delay choices, we can shame ourselves for the delay. But what we're actually doing is giving context and more information to what we feel in our intuition and our body. So we're coming back to deeper connection and trust with ourselves. But in order to trust yourself more, you have to make choices that are about leaping based on the intuitive guidance that you have. So I want to make this a public declaration that I am deleting my Instagram on June 1st. You might be thinking, well, do I have a positive relationship to these social media platforms? Am I in an abusive dynamic with them? I'm not projecting onto you that this is true for you too. It might not be. You know, it's like alcohol. I don't have a healthy relationship with alcohol. That's why I don't drink. So what I do invite, though, is an inquiry as to what is your version of Instagram? What is a no? What do you need to delete? What do you need to get rid of out of your life that's not in alignment, that's actually holding you back from another level? Like, I think about the level of possibility in my relationship to my wife and my son and family and my creativity when I stop putting energy into this thing that is really using me as a conduit to extract other people's attention. When you think about it and you're creating content based on what the algorithm wants, what you're doing is actually shifting to engage more attention so that it can be monetized by the platforms. So you become a conduit for extraction. How can you not feel depleted? How can you not be anxious? I look now and I'm like, it's pretty obvious why people have anxiety. I mean, on top of the uncertainties of the world, anxiety at its root is an inhibitory feeling, which means that we don't have access to full self-expression. We don't have access to our fullest voice. Social media platforms, are you kidding me? If you say the wrong thing, talk about the wrong thing, you're gone. You're censored. You're shadow banned. That's not a mystery. That's a truth. I've had it. I've experienced it. We'll take away your business if you say the wrong thing, if you're not on the right side of the dialogue. How does that cultivate psychological safety in any way? I refuse to participate in any relationship that does not have mutual positive regard. And look, I look at social media and I think, is this the cold calling of today? Like, is just this the necessary part of business? And I'm like, no, because even agreeing to that level of constant extraction is saying that it's okay for something to exploit you. And it's never okay to be exploited. And when our financial dependence connects to the relating to something like this, then it's hard to be free. Just like relationally, if you can't leave a relationship because you're financially dependent on it, you're not safe to be yourself in the relationship. So it's not always about leaving right away. It's about building the strategies to create the resources and safety to make choices that are about preserving and protecting your self-expression, your sovereignty, your ability to be you, your ability to be in charge of how you feel and what you say yes to in your life. So for me, this comes with such a mixed bag. So many feelings, because one, there's this deep level of gratitude for the conversations I've had, the platform I've built, the friends I've made, the wife I met. Unbelievable. Honestly, I can have all of these thoughts of like, when it first started, it seemed like it had positive intent. And much like anything, it can shift when the intent goes from connecting people to actually monetizing the connection between people. They become the broker between how we dialogue. You know, I think it's wild that 1.1 million something people on Instagram and over 130 something thousand people on Facebook have said, I want to see Mark's content, and yet not a fraction of them get it. Even though I earned every moment of the follow, that someone else gets to decide the level of success in my business based on how I dance, that I'm following the rules, quote unquote. There's a saying in the social media world that you built a mansion in someone else's backyard. I don't regret it at all. But once I have the awareness, as Maya Angelou says, when you know better, do better. And it's like, I can't consciously know something and not engage in the change. And really, this is an invitation for you to do the same. What do you know to be true that you don't live? What is holding you back that you're not saying yes to? Look, I don't know what's on the other side of deleting it on June 1st. I have no idea. But what I do know is that already I'm sparked with this aliveness of like, okay. A couple weeks ago, Instagram was down. I went to log in and I was like, oh, maybe they deleted my account. Even though there's no reason for that to have happened, that's just the thought that I had. And I felt relief. And, you know, I've spoken to some friends about this and they're like, man, I need to delete mine too. I bring this message to you to share what conclusions I have arrived at that are going to dramatically shift my life, and that I am willing to fall and jump right into the unknown and trust, and just trust that there's something greater emerging from this. So I'm still going to be doing my podcast regularly and also posting the videos of that on both YouTube and Spotify. So wherever you get your content, make sure you subscribe there. And I'm going all in on diving deeper into the human experience, creating more long-form content, and actually doing what completely brings me alive. I'm not doing any maybes or any no's anymore. I'm still going to be hosting all my content on platforms that are about mutuality, that are about honoring the creator too. Stay tuned, because I'm also going to be creating a private group, a private membership, where we're going to live the principles of what it means to have a liberated life. And what I do know is that any relationship we're in that we are not free to be ourselves, the origin of the behavior almost always comes back to our childhood, to our relationships. And that's why romantic relationships really offer this magnifying glass to figure out how to liberate yourself. And that's at the core, as you could see, the book I wrote with Kylie embodies that, because through what I've lived with her and the book that we wrote is the journey to freeing yourself. It's what's possible when we face the frictions that we have romantically, because it'll show up then in the work we do. It'll show up in the friendships we have, in our relationship to our purpose, meaning our relationships to our body. I'm all in on fully embodying what liberation means to me. You can't turn down your volume, your light in one area of your life and not turn it down in every area. And so as I say to you, I say to myself, it's time to come alive. It's time to come alive.